I hope Matt's okay with it.
Because I didn't really ask.
What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, let's start it nationally with the NFL. A bunch of trades made earlier today, including DeAndre Hopkins going from Tennessee to Kansas City. A quick thought on that, because we haven't even addressed. Obviously, Kansas City has been looking for some sort of an established help on the at the wide receiver spot because they've had so many injuries. So we know it makes sense. Can Hopkins essentially assure them of being an explosive offense again?
No. I don't really understand. I mean, I understand the move to add help on the perimeter, but like it's not Kansas City's problem. Kansas City's problem is 15 won't stop throwing it to the other team. I don't know if a wide receiver is going to change that.
Maybe he's doing that because he's trying to find somebody he can trust and that can get open. And because Kelsey was off to a really, really, really slow start. Maybe. I don't know. Hey. I don't watch the Chiefs snap in, snap out. Obviously, they're 6-0.
Yeah, Pat was bad on Sunday. He played his worst game of the season on Sunday.
That's fair. He was and, maybe they thought so, too. Now, that's against a better not a great defense, but one of the better defenses in the NFL and on the road, and they still won by how many points? 15, whatever it was? And they're 6-0, right? Or 7-0?
Sure.
6-0, 7-0? 6-0. All right. Also, so you got that. There was a couple of other, you know, smaller moves that nobody cares really about. The Texans added Devin White, who's bounced around now to a couple of teams. I don't think that's a big thing, but we never know how it's going to play out. The Seahawks also traded for Jerome Baker. I should say for Ernest Jones IV, Jerome Baker, they traded back. Again, I don't think that's anything anybody really is getting fired up about. I mentioned during the trending alert, Bryce Young is going to start for the Carolina Panthers because of Andy Dalton's car accident. But also, this one stood out to me, interest. Last week, he was the QB3 or the emergency quarterback. They said it was game plan reasoning. Now, all of a sudden, Jameis Winston with Deshaun Watson's torn Achilles is the starter in Cleveland. Does that make sense to you?
He should have been the starter in Cleveland. I don't know why they messed around with Deshaun Watson so long, but it does make sense. They were the team that they played probably felt like they couldn't stop option stuff, and DTR ran the hell out of the option on Sunday. Jameis, not as effective. So, I guess I get it. The Browns are, I don't want to give the Browns airtime, because Kevin Stefanski should be ashamed of himself. Andrew Berry should be ashamed of himself. Get fired. When are one of these rich nincompoops going to stand up for what the hell they believe in instead of being ass-kissing yes men?
Because I would have told Jimmy Haslam, coach of the year.
I would have told Jimmy Haslam to go kick rocks when he tried to force me to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And I would have got fired.
Right.
And because I'm a two-time coach of the year, guess what? I wouldn't have been unemployed for long.
Okay, that's fair. One of those came last year, so that was obviously after the Deshaun Watson decision was made. The Capitals are home tonight, 7:30 face-off against local coverage. Only because the game's not on Monumental, it's on TNT, and TNT does a great job. But if you want the local call, John Walton, Ken Sabourin, and the crew over on 106.7 The Fan, 7:15 for the pregame, 7:30-ish for the puck drop, back at Capital One Arena after the Capitals went on the road, swept both New Jersey in overtime Saturday, and stepped on the gas pedal and never really let up against Philadelphia last night. Two shorthanded goals for the Washington Capitals last night. Dowd had one, and then McMichael had the great pass who am I forgetting? I forget who it was on the second shorthanded goal, but McMichael had the great pass, and then they got a couple of goals from the defenseman, most notably Johnny Carlson and company. So the Capitals won last night 4-1. They play the Flyers again tonight, looking for win number 5 in a row. I know you're not a big hockey guy, but I also understand that you
understand.
Yeah, that you understand. I would say the number one thing that jumps out to me, besides Tom Wilson's ridiculous start, and he didn't score last night, so I should point that out, but five goals in the first four games, the number one thing that jumps out to me is that everybody is taking their turn. The defensemen are scoring. Yep. It's not just John Carlson. It's the guy they got from Ottawa. Why I can't think of his name. Jacob Chychrun. Good Lord. Jacob Chychrun's got a couple of goals already.
I think
two or three assists. Like, they're getting it from everywhere, all the lines. Connor McMichael is off to a great start. Pierre-Luc Dubois hasn't scored a goal yet, but he's been really good at center on one of their top lines. So, and they're getting a good rotational. I know it's early in the hockey season. Not that many people care, but
there are stark differences. Yeah. You know, if you look at some of the numbers through five games last year and now, the goal scoring thing is huge. But it's not just about the number of goals, which is obviously sizably increased, but it's the different goal scorers too.
Yeah,
I agree.
No doubt. By the way, one of the sort of sometimes tenets, certainly of Capital One Arena, and certainly one of the sister organization, if you will, of the Capitals and the Wizards, making big sweeping changes at the head of their basketball operations. The Tebows are out, both coach and general manager. I thought the Mystics, they got off to a horrible start. I think they were 0-12, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, man.
But I think they were really competitive down the stretch. I'm a little surprised by this. Not mega, but a little.
I'm not.
Okay.
When you don't draft Angel Reese and you miss the playoffs and you stink, you should get fired. I go back to their decision that they did not make. That's the one thing that I've held over them all year long. And it's been very clear that she was much better than who we drafted. And Aaliyah Edwards. Love Aaliyah Edwards. Great woman. But Angel Reese would have won you.
But the 0-12 start didn't bother you, or you know what I'm saying?
You
like
were a
that
bad
wasn't
team.
Just
you,
because
you, were,
you didn't
you were
draft.
Going to be, you were going to be a bad team anyway. You let Natasha Cloud go via free agency. You had a big time injury to the best member of your front court. Like, they weren't going to be good to start the season anyway. They got better as they got healthier.
Right.
But I just think passing on Angel Reese is a fireable offense.
Now, they won a championship. Obviously, When Mike Tebow was the head coach, right, they won a championship.
You don't think that has anything to do with the decision either? They can't get Elena Deladon to come back?
Well, maybe. And that's all part. Look, I'm not an expert. I'll let Hoffman, obviously. I'm sure he'll have extensive coverage about this. One thing that is very noticeable with Caitlin Clark's emergence, and don't get me wrong, she's driving the entire league.
Let you tell it.
But there is a level of impatience that I don't remember. Five now WNBA head coaches have been canned since their seasons ended. And this one took a couple of weeks. They didn't just stop playing yesterday. This one took a couple of weeks.
I don't think the timing's off by it, though. They had some decisions that they needed to make in-house. And that's the decision they came to.
All right.
Who they hire next is what I'm most curious with. Because you got not just the GM. Yeah, head coach too.
Yeah.
And I wonder how involved Mike Winger is.
He's the president of basketball operations.
Right.
I would hope
so
that
they
he's
go
pretty
with
involved.
Do they go with a traditional GM?
Yeah, I don't.
Is my question.
Yeah, that I don't know. And last thing about clean up on aisle three is this. I would say the Wizards season opener tomorrow night represents an opportunity. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow night. Not only an opportunity to get off to a clean slate and send a message, if you will, because the Boston Celtics are coming in and they're the defending champions. I'm very interested to see if the Wizards can be really, really good defensively. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, obviously. But between Sarr and obviously Bilal Coulibaly and some of the other pieces that they've added here and there, I think this team has a real good opportunity to be really good defensively, and I'll be disappointed if we see a lot of 125, type efforts. I just wanted to point that out. LeBron James last night making NBA history. A quick thought on what you saw in Los Angeles, because I thought it was cool the way J.J. Redick, who LeBron obviously orchestrated the hiring of, brought them in together off the bench at the same time.
It's excellence. History. That's what it was.
That's it?
Yeah, what else do you want me to say? It was history. And the Lakers won.
Yes, so. It was history.
And the Lakers,
but it was pretty cool the way they brought them in together, right?
That's how you do that.
Right. Well, I mean, you could have done it differently. LeBron could have been on the court already.
Well, Bronny wouldn't have played if it wasn't for the history-making moment. So, like, you bring him in at the same time.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
I have no problem with him being
drafted. More on
either,
that right. And the Wizards tomorrow. Tomorrow on a Throwdown Thursday. I promise you that unless there's something huge, there won't be a lot on Jaden Daniels and even Marcus Mariota. There'll be a sprinkle. There won't be a lot. All right, coming
clean
back.
Clean up in aisle three.